local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Our morning show continues on WRCO Radio. Bob Ward from the firm Fabrizio Ward is on the line with us regarding a new poll about the upcoming elections. Bob, tell us about the AARP new poll and some of your main takeaways.
Thanks, Phil. Yes. What we see, we're about just under 4 months from the election. And in Wisconsin, our latest poll shows that Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden in the presidential race. But in the Senate race, Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin is ahead of her Republican challenger, Eric Hovde. So there's a mix of what's going on politically in the state. And I think, you know, you'd ask, why is that the case? Why is the president not doing as well as Senator Baldwin? And you have to look into the data, and what we see is that younger voters are in a bit of a funk about the president. They lean more Democratic, but they are also give him poorer ratings than other voters along the age spectrum. They're also less motivated to vote as a result of this. And so when we look at older voters, those voters 50 plus, they are very motivated to vote. But there's a real question as to whether younger voters are going to turn out in ways in which they have in the past. If that's the case, because they are more Democratic leaning, it does throw some question marks out there if Tammy Baldwin's going to be able to hold her lead that she has right now come Election Day.
So what's the margin of error on these polls?
Well, the margin of error, so we have a survey of 600 likely voters age 18 plus. In the state, the margin of error is plus or minus 4%. So Trump is ahead by 6 points in the presidential race. Tammy Baldwin's ahead by 5 points in the Senate race. So both of those are just outside the margin of error.
What are the most important issues right now, would you say, for older Americans?
So I think the main issues that are driving this election are personal economic issues. And by that, I mean inflation, jobs, the economy, Social Security, which is certainly a personal economic issue. When you look at those issues together, they are the biggest issue group among Republicans, among independents, and among Democrats. There are issues that are, you know, very important to Republicans, like immigration and border security. And there are issues that are very important to Democrats, like threats to democracy and abortion and reproductive rights. But the economic issues span the parties, and that is really what's defining this election, particularly among older voters. And I would say that, you know, this race for president, for example, is tied among voters 65 plus, and Social Security plays a big role among that voter set. 83% of voters 50 plus in Wisconsin say Social Security is either going to be a very or extremely important issue in deciding their vote. Among that group, Trump's up by 3 and Baldwin's up by 3. It is very competitive. So what you're going to be hearing from candidates who want to court this very big swing voter group, voters age 65 and older, is, you know, how are they going to protect and make sure Social Security is there for them?
So obviously, candidates should listen to the concerns of older voters, you're saying.
Absolutely. Like I said, there's a big question mark whether younger voters are going to turn out in ways that they have in the past, but older voters are very motivated to vote, and they will turn out. And so candidates have to be focused on them.
Are you seeing more swing voting among older adults this election season?
Absolutely. And you can see it by the, you know, number of Trump's ahead and Baldwin's ahead. When you look at those voters who are voting straight ticket Republican, straight ticket Democrat, there's a group that aren't voting straight ticket, and it's about 1 in 5 older voters, and they're really focused on economic issues. And, you know, issues like Social Security, inflation, jobs in the economy. And so they're telling us that they're looking for solutions from the presidential candidates, from the Senate candidates, congressional candidates, even down to state House races, that the economy is what matters, and they want to be hearing what candidates have to say about them.
How often do you do these polls, Bob, and will you be doing another one in a short time?
Well, this is our first in Wisconsin this election cycle, and we have another one scheduled for later in the fall. So I hope to be back and tell you where things stand, you know, after Labor Day.
Where can our listeners go to get more information about the poll?
On the website, aarp.org/WI polling, will give the full results of this survey that I've been talking about.
All right. We appreciate you taking time to talk to us, and good luck. Again, maybe we'll talk to you later on in the fall.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bob Ward joining us from the firm Fabrizio Ward regarding the brand new polling out this week. On the second part of our morning show today, we have members of the Riverdale team here, Riverdale Schools. Jeff Campbell is in, Riverdale District Administrator Sarah Gruen, who's the new junior high and high school principal, and Sarah Pleckelman, who is the elementary principal as well, joining us here today. Jeff, good morning. Good to have you.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having us, Phil. Really appreciate it.
It's kind of downtime for the rest of us, but for, I don't think, you know, in the district office and everything, I don't think anything is a downtime, is it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's always hustle and bustle in time, and especially this year with some of the transitions that we've had with our administrative team, it's been a good hectic, but we're adjusting to each other, and we're getting off to a great start.
A different title for you? Did you move offices then?
Yeah, so be taking over the district administrator role as of this past July 1st, and was able to move over to district office. Was very fortunate to work with John over the last month to really make that transition smooth. And then also working with Sherry Haugen, too, as we move through the transition with our elementary principal. And it's been a smooth transition that way, and just kind of picking up. And my knowledge of the district has helped and the community, and that has made that transition much easier for the district and for everybody involved.
You had some retirements of some people that have served the district for a long time, didn't you?
We did, yeah. We had outgoing district administrator John Schmidt moving on to outside the educational field, done a great job leading our district in the district for 20-plus years, and then in last 5 as the district administrator. Sherry Haugen, who's been a mainstay in the elementary and junior high area of the Riverdale School District for 30 years, an amazing individual that was a true mentor of mine for the last 10 years, and actually when I was a student too for a period of time. So she's been a good role. Jeff Johnson, a senior teacher that our Phi Ed teacher of close to 30 years again in the district, an individual that I was close with as a student too in much of my athletics and academic side of things. He retired. Kudos to him. And then Bobby Ann Goplin, she had worked in our library area, so she was also retirement this year that we will miss in the elementary library area.
It's like a lot of things you're happy for them, but it's also selfish reasons. You also miss them a little bit, too.
It is. They've got, you know, it'll be big shoes to fill. Those people really dedicated themselves to the Riverdale District and really were mainstays here and enjoyed it, and had kids come up through the district and really poured their heart and soul into the district. And that's what we really pride ourselves on with the small school setting, is that. And those people were symbols of what we really strive for in the district.
You have a referendum coming up in August, and I know you'd like to talk about that today, Jeff.
Yeah, we do. So we're getting a lot of information that we've posted out through our website. We're going to be heading to referendum on Tuesday, August 13th will be the vote date for that. We'll be allowing the school district, members of our school district, to vote on this operating referendum that we have. We're looking to exceed the revenue limit, and kind of a common theme that we saw, I think, in the spring. There was something about 100-plus schools that went to referendum in some type of form. And we're kind of in that boat right now with the increasing costs, with inflation. It's been very difficult to try to keep up the programming that we have with the funding that we've been receiving from the state. So we have that option coming up on the 13th, getting a lot of information out on our website right now. We have a referendum website that Mr. Schmidt had did some preview videos for. I'll get into some of the community meetings and things that we'll have coming out for that. But it's just an opportunity for us, hopefully, to I know it's not an easy time to do referendums, but it is a time that's needed to continue what we need to do for the Riverdale School District.
The district chose August, too. Was there a reason for that?
No, it seemed like at that time that was going to be the best option for us to run. It also gives us a couple other options later on if we need to look at rerunning. But August was something that we had looked to aim for, so we'll go with the August 13th date for our referendum.
I know the district is very frugal. You know, you've been able to do well with what you've had. When was the last time you went to referendum?
We did have a referendum pass in 2021. That was part to add on to our building. It was both operational and adding on to facilities that we had there. We added on a junior high high school wing or junior high wing at that time, which was needed because our 712 is in one building, and this allowed more learning space for our junior high students, which was something we've seen a great positive move in our building, just having them have their own area, an own learning environment. And we also added on an ag room and an ag addition that our ag program is one of the top in the state, and it's really helped excel that program. And it's been a beautiful spot. We have animals in there all the time. And part of that also was operating cost, and that will be coming off here in a couple years, which will be kind of added to this referendum. But at that time, it was no tax burden at extra tax burden for our taxpayers. So it was a great opportunity to run and a great opportunity to add to our district in a time when we needed that for our students.
How much are you looking at borrowing then for the referendum?
Yeah, so we're looking at a couple different things. Right now we're kind of running in a budget deficit that we knew we would for these past 2 years, and also this school year. We'd be at a little bit of a budget deficit. We're looking at total amount right now. We're going to look at about 400 in the deficit this year, and then 24-25 will be about 600 in deficit, but we're anticipating that it'd be about up to about we're looking at about 800,000 in the future, and a little bit more that will be running in the deficit. So at this time right now, we're looking at running with this year we're looking at 800,000 for the 25-26. It'd be 800,000 for 26-27, then a 1.185 for the remaining 3 years of it for the referendum that we're trying to go through in August. So it's a little bit added on. When I break down the numbers for it, we're looking at for taxpayers, it's going to look like there's going to be a little bit of an impact with that. With this referendum, we're looking at about 157 the first time for 25-26 of $100,000 worth of property. And then we drop down after that for the next 4 years of 115 per 100,000 per property value. So we're trying to level out that mill rate there those last 4 years. We really do it after that first year, that 25-26, we'll receive some categorical aid from the state based off our spending, and that will drop down the amount of the taxpayer burden that they will have for those next 4 years. So we're pleased with kind of what we've done so far as cost savings goes. We've done a number of measures, and that's what's brought us to this point now is we feel like now we can't really move on without this. We have to, some of the cost savings that we've done is we've actually reduced one of our classroom teachers that we had. We didn't hire back off our retirement, which did increase class numbers a little bit. We want to kind of avoid that in the future if possible. We didn't redo two interventionist positions, early interventionists. We went with a part-time library media specialist, which will contract out. We no longer have that as a full-time position. We've reduced some extracurricular opportunities. And one thing we did also is we went to full-day professional development days. And what that allows us to do is kind of have some cost savings for support staff wages, but also transportation, food service. You save a little bit with that. And so we've gone away from the early release days to the full-day PD days for our staff. We've also, something that the district has done in the past is part-time paraprofessional positions has helped save an amount of money, and that's kind of been something in the last 10 to 12 years that the district has continued to do. One other thing is we're really utilizing a lot of grant funding, especially the safety grant, to make some upgrades with our fencing along our outdoor of our junior high school. So when we can utilize that stuff, that helps save maintenance budget amounts that we have in the future that will come up.
Do you share staff with any other districts or anything like that?
At this time, no. We have some things that we do, classes as far as virtual classes where we may teach and some people may Zoom into us, but not as much sharing staff with other districts at this time, no.
You mentioned some meetings coming up, Jeff. Are there any in the near future?
Yeah. We actually, this is kind of a good time to be on here because we do have a couple meetings coming up. We're going to do three different meetings, one in each community. So next Wednesday, July 17th at 7 o'clock, I'll do a presentation in the junior high school gymnasium right at the high school. And that will be for any residents of the district. That's more of the Muscadet centered meeting. And then I'm going to do one the next night, Thursday night at 7 in the Blue River Community Center, located in Blue River. And then the last one will be Monday, July 22nd at 7 o'clock in the Avoca Village Hall. But I welcome all residents of the district to come to any of those three meetings. And one thing that I will be doing as superintendent too is I will be getting out to the municipality meetings also throughout this first year just to really introduce myself. We have a number of municipalities out there, close to 17 within our district. So I'm going to try to hit as many as I can that my schedule allows, at least throughout the first year, so that people get to know me, get to recognize me, and then continue on. But these referendum meetings will be strictly based off the referendum informational meetings and allow our community to kind of ask those questions that they want to ask. And then we'll update our website with questions that come up from those meetings so that we're transparent with any questions out there that people, that we can get answers to.
You'll welcome community input too at that
time. Yeah, we really do. And I think that's the biggest thing. We want to be transparent with it. This is, going to be their choice and their decision. And we just want to be out there with the information that we need. And I can get into even more detail about different things that what passing this really allows us to be able to do in our district.
Always some good things going on at Riverdale. We've enjoyed that co-op with you over the years to promote the good things. And I know you're looking toward the future. And you've got two women in the studio that are really going to take that to the next level, aren't they?
Yeah. We have two outstanding people that will be leading us in our buildings now. Sarah Gruen, a junior high school principal, and Sarah Pleckelman, which will be transitioning from the high school over to the elementary principal position. So we're really excited about the stuff that they're going to bring to our district and moving our district forward. As I mentioned earlier, big shoes to fill with Sherry Haugen out of the elementary, but we're very confident, and Sherry's been great about helping out and transitioning that for us moving forward.
Two Sarahs, so I'm not going to get them their first name.
I don't know what I did there, but it's going to be tough for me.
Sarah Gruen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. We would cross paths when you were at Royal as an athletic director.
That's correct. I was an athletic director at Royal for 10 years, yes.
And did you know a lot about Riverdale?
Not a whole lot. My kids have definitely played sports here at Riverdale, so that's what interested me.
Tell us about your family.
I'm married to Mark Gruen, and he's the superintendent at Johnson Creek right now. We have five kids. Darren's our oldest, and then I've got three in college, Emma, Bryce, and Mara. Emma's going to be a senior at UW-Eau Claire. Bryce is a junior at UW-La Crosse, and Mara's going to be a freshman at UW-Eau Claire. And then our baby is a junior in high school. So,
okay. Boy, you've got a nice family.
Yeah, nice. They've kept me busy.
Well, tell us about the position, what you're looking forward to this school year.
Well, so I've been in education for this is going to be my 25th year. I started my career at La Crosse Logan Middle School as a middle school teacher there. And then I've been at Royal for many years as a math teacher and the athletic director for 10 years, like I mentioned. So this actually is my first year as an administrator, and I'm just really looking forward to the challenge. I'm, you know, as my kids have graduated and moved out of the house, I feel like I've got some freedom, and I can't wait to be a part of this great team. So
I'm guessing you're going to miss the classroom.
Absolutely. It was my biggest holdup, actually, in applying out. When I said goodbye to my last group there at Royal, lots of tears. I love my students, so it's hard to leave.
But that having been said, you certainly know what's going on, you know, in the classroom. I think that better prepares you in your position, doesn't it?
Well, I'm hoping it does. I've dealt with middle school kids for 24 years, and I love them. So I think that it'll help me in this position, yes.
Starting in La Crosse, and then you mentioned Royal, Elroy area, similar size to Riverdale. Do you like the smaller schools in those settings?
Absolutely. I'm a small-town girl, that's for sure. I grew up in a small town as well. So, the small-town environment is where I belong. It's where my passion is. So, yes.
What do you see as challenges in the new position?
I don't even know what I don't know quite yet. I'm just learning. I think a big challenge is filling Jeff's shoes over there. I just started the job on July 1st, and I've learned real quick that he was a phenomenal principal, and I have some pretty big shoes to fill. But I'm also really lucky and blessed that he's here still at Riverdale as a resource for me. So he's been super helpful, and I'm just learning as I go right now.
I think too, sometimes as an outsider, I will say, you know, you come in, you know, you're going to be meeting people, you know, you have no preconceived anything. It's kind of a fresh start, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of love that, actually. I'm meeting new people, getting to know what worked and what some people didn't like. And so I definitely am learning lots of ways that Riverdale works. So
indeed, so that'll be it. Yeah, you've only been on the job for a little while, so I'm asking you questions I know that are a little tough to answer, but you look forward to that first day of school.
I'm excited for it, actually. Super excited. Yeah,
indeed. And a unique setting at Riverdale too, with the elementary and middle school, everything kind of on the same campus there too.
Yeah, all with walking distance. I've walked a lot, actually, learning the layout of the buildings and getting to the district office. It's a nice little short walk. Yeah.
Indeed. Well, we look forward to working with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Pluckelman is here as well. We see Sarah quite a bit in the booth at Riverdale as the voice.
I don't know if I'd say that, the Riverdale voice of Riverdale, Sports. But so if you're walking by in the fall or in the spring, you'll probably hear me in the booth. I'll announce football games in the fall and as many baseball games as we can get to in the spring. So it's always fun when Phil's in the booth with us.
And you could have announced in Spanish, too, if you wanted to,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course. A couple of Cinco de Mayos we have. So
you've been Spanish teacher in the Riverdale district for some time.
Yes, yep. I was a Spanish teacher in the district for 11 years. Prior to that, I spent 2 years in Athens, Wisconsin, not Greece. Everyone always wonders if it's abroad. Unfortunately, no. And then 6 years before that in the Portage School District.
Okay, so you're moving buildings this year.
Moving buildings, yes. Yep, and I'm excited to work with the elementary teachers. I had, for a few years, coordinated summer school, so I did get some experience in working with the teachers there. And, I mean, just like at the junior high school building, we have phenomenal staff.
You'll be working with a little bit different age group, won't you?
That's true, yes. But my own kids are going into second and third grade, so I'll have experience with kids at that grade level and some of the developmental challenges, but also joys that they bring.
Uh-huh. And I'm guessing that that Sherry Haugen is a good person reference. You probably had a chance
Absolutely.
To chat with her a little bit, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes. I actually got to job shadow with her in May and kind of follow her around for a day and see what she does. She was phenomenal her last month, kind of finishing things up in June, but was helping me, you know, with the scheduling and class lists. And she said she can be number one on my speed dial so I can call anytime.
Oh, that's nice of her. So I'm sure you'll miss the classroom as well.
Yes, I absolutely will. And in addition to teaching Spanish, a couple years I had taught math in the district. In the past couple years, I also got to teach a class in partnership with UW-Platteville for future educators. So it was their introduction to education class. And I'll miss that, being able to kind of influence future teachers and some of my future coworkers potentially. But, you know, again, you know, as like what Sarah said, the experience in the classroom will help us when we get to go and observe in other classes. And anytime I miss it, I think I can sit in story time in kindergarten. So.
Mm-hmm. I was there when the Riverdale Community Foundation awarded some money. And I hear about some of the things that are going on in these classrooms. And I'm like, I want to go back to school.
Yeah,
well, maybe this time I'll do better.
We hope so. Although Hank does a pretty good job schooling you, I think, on Tuesday mornings with his quizzes. So.
He does. But there are some phenomenal things going on behind the scenes, aren't there?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and again, it's all because of our phenomenal staff. Each one is interested in the growth of their students academically, but socially, right, and emotionally as well. And so all of the projects that they're requesting the foundation money for is to improve their classroom environment and improve that learning experience for kids. You know, I remember growing up that I just had such a love of learning. You know, in elementary, what I'm most excited about is that the kids still love school and are excited to get there. So we just want to foster that excitement and love of learning as long as we can.
And keep them interested in school and things. You know, and we're kind of over the hump, hopefully, from the COVID years, kind of seeing that transition and things go a little bit better in the classroom.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, you know, attendance had been kind of an issue, and I think we're seeing an increase in that, you know, in kids, and we're seeing an increase in the value of education, I think, in our community as a whole.
One of your finest, Michael Hernan. I know you had a chance to mentor him, but he's been great for us.
And, yes. And I'm always excited to hear him on the radio.
Yeah, he does a good job. Yeah, you can pat yourself on the back maybe a little bit.
Thank you.
We'll wrap up our conversation with the Riverdale staff coming up here in a moment on today's morning show. We're talking about Riverdale schools and some great things coming up here on the new year. I can't believe we're saying 24-25 school year, Jeff.
Yeah, we're there. And it's coming quickly. We had a little bit of extra, I would say, long summer this year because we started earlier, and then we'll start in September this coming school year. So it's been a couple extra weeks, I think, about two weeks more than what we normally have in the summer. But yeah, you'll need that time. We'll need that time to get ready.
Once you get past the 4th of July, it's downhill, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Now it's time to get going and really have transitioned into getting our in-service stuff ready and planning that with our admin team moving forward.
Do you have summer school going on?
We do, yeah. Our second session will start up next Monday. We'll run that for 3 weeks, have an Olympic theme. It's kind of our jump start for our summer school, our elementary kids. So that's always a popular time. It also allows some of our younger kids to get into school for the first time and kind of see what they're going to be having come up in their 4K curriculum. And I think it just kind of starts to put families in that mode of getting ready to go.
And fall sports will start before too long.
Yeah, we'll have our fall sports starting with our football first week in August. They get started early and with practice, and then volleyball and cross country will follow. So we're anxious for those seasons. They're doing a ton of workouts every morning. We have a large group of students every morning with our athletes at 8 and 10 a.m., or 6 and 8 a.m., I should say, working out every morning, led by our football coach, Lucas Phelps, and our volleyball coach, Jesse Kinney.
You have a nice weight room there.
We do. Yeah, we have a great facility for this, and the kids have been really buying into the programs that we have now and the weight training programs and the off-season conditioning, and it's starting to show in our results and continue to get more and more kids in there, and it's just a great program that they've been running every morning, and numbers continue to increase, so that's a good thing.
Very good. Yeah. I always admire, because Riverdale is one of those districts where you see these 3 and 4 sport athletes sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We really pride ourselves on that. We encourage it with our kids. It's very difficult to do in this day and age, but we do definitely encourage it and try to get the kids. They're pulled so many different directions, but there's just a pride in participating in those athletics and those being part of those teams throughout the year.
You're superintendent now. Are you still going to be involved in coaching a little bit, Jeff?
I did step down as the head wrestling coach, so I'm hoping to still volunteer in a capacity when I'm able to. But this was a move that I needed to make just because I need to focus my whole attention on the district as a whole, and this gives me the opportunity to do that. And we have Marcus Ingles that'll be taking over that program, and he'll do a fine job as an alumni there and a former coach. So he'll do a great job and has a nice staff there. But yeah, yeah, this was just a decision I need to make with coming up with this position, that more time dedicated to the district.
I'm sure you'll miss it when November rolls around and practice starts, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's it's been in my blood for a long time. You know, I think it was hard to step away, but it's in the right move for, I think, everybody, my family and the district. And we've got some good things going with our people that are in those places.
Indeed. A question for you. What makes Riverdale Riverdale? I mean, you're a former student, you know, alumni, and now a
teacher. It's the family atmosphere, and it's the community involvement. Our community has just been exceptional with our school district. If there's things that we need, we reach out to community, businesses, members. People are always looking for ways to volunteer to our district and help us out. But it's that family atmosphere that everybody takes a little bit of ownership within the district. And when we talk to the staff, that's one thing that keeps our staff around. They are very they're very hardworking staff and dedicated staff.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
A tantalizing slab of soggy bottom barbecue ribs for just $18, plus sides like potato salad, coleslaw, beans, and plenty of cold beverages. You can even get it to go. Plus, plenty of family fun. The Avoca Blue River Muscadet Lions Club Rib Fest this Sunday from 11 until 2.
WRCO 100.9 FM.
News Time is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Some isolated showers are possible this afternoon, and a high of 82 expected later today. Right now in Richland Center, we're at 65 degrees.
Shop local and save big this July with the Red, White, and Refresh sale at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet. Get 10% off all mattresses for the best night's sleep. Enjoy 15% off all bedding to complete your bedroom makeover. And don't miss 20% off all decor to refresh your home. Visit us at 172 South Church Street, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Hurry in, these deals won't last long. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet, where quality meets savings. Follow us on Facebook for access to exclusive deals. Cannot be combined with other offers.
I'm Phil Nee from the Civic Media News Desk. Here is what you need to know. 21-year-old rural Boscobel man has drowned in a private pond. Grand County Sheriff Nate Dreckman reports that just before 10 p.m. on Tuesday, the Grand County Sheriff's Office was notified of a swimming incident at a private pond in the township of Marion near the intersection of County Highway T. Aaron King, 21, of rural Boscobel, had been swimming in the pond on a farm with friends. Aaron began to struggle to stay afloat. The other swimmers attempted to retrieve Aaron and bring him to shore, but were unsuccessful. The swimmers were able to flag down a passerby to notify the Grant County Communications Center. First responders attempted to locate Aaron, but were also initially unsuccessful. Aaron was recovered from the pond by members of the Boscobel and Rural Fire Department just after 11 o'clock Tuesday night. The Richland County Sheriff's Office responded to reports of a series of burglaries in Viola late on Tuesday and early yesterday morning. Three juveniles whose identities were being held due to their age are believed to have stolen a vehicle in the city of La Crosse and subsequently broken into multiple cars, stealing various items from local Viola residents. The incident began when the juveniles stole a vehicle and drove to Viola, where they committed several vehicle-related burglaries. Law enforcement officers quickly located the stolen vehicle and attempted to conduct a traffic stop. The suspect vehicle eluded law enforcement through the village of Viola and ultimately westbound on State Highway 56 into Vernon County, during which the stolen vehicle left the roadway and became disabled. After the vehicle became disabled, the driver of the stolen vehicle fled on foot. Two of the juveniles involved in these burglaries were located and apprehended in the village of Viola and were not occupants in the fleeing vehicle. One individual remained at large. The sheriff's office, along with several local agencies, mobilized additional resources to locate and apprehend the remaining suspect. An update as of 9:40 yesterday morning from the Vernon County Sheriff, Roy Torgerson, reported that the juvenile had been taken into custody in the city of La Crosse and will be referred to juvenile authorities. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is scheduled to meet this morning. Commissioners will consider what guidance to provide local elections clerks following last week's decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court allowing use of absentee ballot drop boxes. And WEC Administrator Megan Wolf stressed the six commissions will be making those decisions. Wolf said this week there was a lot of misinformation attributing previous drop box guidance to her or to commission staff. Wolf said the commission can't simply repeat earlier guidance on drop boxes, which was in place before the court prohibited their use in 2022. The meeting starts at 8 o'clock this morning. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office is investigating the death of a man outside of a downtown hotel as a homicide. Devontae Mitchell died after an incident with security outside the Hyatt Regent Hotel. According to Milwaukee police, Mitchell went into the hotel, caused a disturbance, and security escorted him out. Video taken by a bystander showed Mitchell on the ground being restrained by four security guards. He was unresponsive by the time police arrived. The DA says they're waiting on the full results of the autopsy on Mitchell, and they're also looking into the use of force by hotel personnel. Up until Wednesday, authorities had repeatedly denied that Mitchell's death was being investigated as a homicide. Marshfield Clinic Health Systems is working on yet another potential merger after deals with Gunderson and Essentia Health fell apart in the last 5 years. The Marshfield-based health system has announced plans to merge with Sanford Health. In a press release on Wednesday, officials with both systems noted similarities in their operating structures and footprints as reasons for the merger, which could be completed in the next 6 months. Under the terms of the agreement, Marshfield Clinic would continue to operate as a regional entity under the Sanford umbrella, and Marshfield Clinic would be provided with 3 seats on Sanford's board of directors. The Sioux Falls-based hospital system serves much of the Dakotas and outposts in Minnesota and Iowa as well. A study finds foam on Wisconsin rivers and lakes has higher PFAS levels than waters below. The researchers at UW-Madison studied 36 different types of PFAS in samples collected from the foams and the very top layer of the water column across 43 rivers and lakes in the state. Samples of foam from Lake Monona showed PFAS levels up to roughly 328,000 per trillion. That's compared to new federal drinking water regulations of just 4 parts per trillion. Among samples collected, researchers say PFAS concentrations in foam range from 50 to 7,000 times higher than levels in the water. Higher PFAS levels in foam were also found in Lake Wabisa, the Green Bay Shore, and the Peshtigo River. Researchers say the findings reinforce state-issued warnings to avoid contact with any foam on waterways. A Sun Prairie woman has been sentenced for trafficking fentanyl inside stuffed animals. Brianna M. Reno, 27, of Sun Prairie, was sentenced by U.S. District Judge James D. Peterson Wednesday to 7 years in federal prison for conspiracy to possess and distribute 40 grams or more of fentanyl. The prison term will be followed by 5 years of supervised release. Reno pled guilty to the charge in April. On January 26th of 2023, law enforcement intercepted 2 suspicious packages being shipped to Madison from Arizona. After obtaining a search warrant, officers opened the packages and inside each found a stuffed animal containing approximately 2.2 kilograms of counterfeit prescription pills. In total, more than 40,000 pills were seized. Testing revealed that the pills contained fentanyl. The government's investigation revealed that Reno arranged for co-defendant Keyshawna D. Draper to ship the fentanyl pills to Madison from Arizona. All 4 defendants who were charged in this trafficking scheme have pled guilty. As far as the defendants go, John Tel C. Shepard, Alexis K. Davis were arrested after arriving at the delivery location to pick up the package that day. All 4 defendants charged in the trafficking have pled guilty. Shepard and Draper sentencing hearings are scheduled for July 23rd, and Davis will be sentenced on July 25th.
Can you believe the next heating season is just a few months away? Hi, this is Amanda from Meyer Oil & LP. With a busy summer season, don't forget to call and get your summer fill. Or if you're considering a new fuel provider, please call and talk with one of our friendly office staff at 608-524-3914. Call today and join the Meyer Oil and LP family.
A high of 82 today and some isolated showers or thunderstorms are in the forecast. This evening, clearing after some isolated shower chances early, patchy fog overnight and a low of 61. Tomorrow, 85 with sunshine and warm conditions. Right now in Richland Center, after an earlier reading today of 68 that followed yesterday's high of 84, with cloudy skies currently, it is 65.
Are you ready to buy a house? Do you know somebody looking to buy a house? Do you not know where to start? Do you not know where to apply? Do you just have some general questions about buying a home? Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage, the Schultz Mortgage Team, your local mortgage expert. When I say expert, I mean that because mortgage is all I do. I don't want your checking account. I don't want your car loan. I just want to help you buy a house. Whether you need an FHA loan, a VA loan for veterans, a USDA loan, or a conventional loan, contact the Schultz Mortgage Team 7 days a week, 604-5068. We do not work banker hours.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll look at the local and area schedule for tonight and recap a Brewer win last night. Coming up.
A Kubota tractor will allow you to get all those many jobs done that have been sitting there too long. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Industry-leading Kubota tractors will push, pull, lift, cut, and till your property back into shape. Kubota has compact diesel tractors priced right from 18 to 62 horsepower. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota tractors at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
Tonight is a big night for Knight League home talent baseball. There are several games in the area with playoff implications. Cazenovia plays at Reedsburg, Wisconsin Dells at Sauk Prairie, Arena at Mazamani, and Plain at Dodgeville. Other games include Hollandale at Ridgeway and Cross Plains at Black Earth. Rained out games from May 21st of this year will be made up tonight at Kroska Park in Church League softball. The Mission will play Richland Baptist Temple 1 at 7 o'clock on the East Diamond. At 8:15, Bethel Lutheran plays Richland Baptist Temple 2. On the West Diamond at 7, St. Mary's takes on Church of the Nazarene. And at 8:15, Free Methodist will battle Boscobel Assembly of God. Regularly scheduled games will be played on Tuesday of next week. Another evening of makeup games will be played on Thursday, July 25th. In American Legion baseball last night, Viroqua edged Fenimore's. Post-Railers, 6-5 was the final score. The Brewers blanked Pittsburgh Wednesday night 9-0 behind 8 shutout innings from rookie Tobias Myers. Shortstop Willie Adames had 3 hits, his 14th home run, and 4 runs batted in. Rhys Hoskins also had a big fly. He also put up a dozen runs on Tuesday, and Myers kept the Pirates batters in a deep sleep last night. As far as his pitcher was concerned, manager Pat Murphy talked about Tobias Myers.
Contreras from the first inning kept adjusting with him, and then he found his stuff again. Third or fourth inning, he found his stuff, and you know, we played great defense behind him. We hit in the clutch. We scored a ton of runs with 2 outs, and that was the name of the game, and we stayed with it for 9 innings.
The teams wrap up the series this afternoon at American Family Field. Aaron Civale is scheduled to start for Milwaukee in that game. As far as some other baseball from last night, Kansas City 6-4 over St. Louis and 8-5 as the Cardinals dropped a pair. Seattle 2-0 over San Diego. The Cubs shut out Baltimore 4-0. Houston 9, Miami 1. Toronto 10-6 over San Francisco. In the National League, Mets 6 and Washington 2. Philadelphia 4-3 over the Dodgers. Colorado 6 and Cincinnati 5. Arizona 7-5 over Atlanta. In the American League, White Sox 3, Minnesota 1. Minnesota won the nightcap, but as as well by a score of 3-2. Detroit 5-4 over Cleveland. The Yankees 2, Tampa Bay 1. Oakland 5-2 over Boston. And the LA Angels top Texas 7-2. For USA Basketball, the road to the Paris Olympics has started with a win. Anthony Davis scored 13, Stephen Curry 12, and the United States opened its tune-up schedule for the Paris Games by topping Canada 86-72. Jefferson Lerma scored in the 39th minute, and Colombia played a man short the entire second half in a 1-0 win over Uruguay. University of Wisconsin Athletics is big business in Madison. Badger Sports were good for $150 million in revenue during the last fiscal year. USA Today has compiled the dollar figures, and Wisconsin comes in 22nd among all colleges. Ohio State was number one last year with gross revenues of $251 million. Texas trailed that narrowly at $239 million, a $7 billion television deal just worked out by the Big Ten Conference means those revenue figures will only go higher. And former Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers still wants a reunion with one of his top targets. Wide receiver Davante Adams confirms that the future Hall of Fame passer wants him to move from Las Vegas to New York. Adams made the comments during an appearance on FanDuel TV. He and current Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs became good friends when they played together with the Raiders, and Jacobs says the idea isn't dead, at least for Rodgers. Adams says he's staying in Vegas, but Rodgers does keep trying. That's an update on sports for Thursday morning. I'm Phil Nee.
Which group do you belong to? The 20% or the 80%? 20% of people exercise regularly and 80% don't. Hi, this is Tracy, letting you know which group you belong to.
But we hear a lot from them. They just enjoy that team atmosphere, that family atmosphere where everybody's putting their best foot forward for the kids. And sometimes I think we get in situations where we feel like, you know, staff's like, oh, they really take on these kids almost as their own, and they just pour so much into them that sometimes it's like, you know, is it worth it? And at the end of the day, they turn around, they say, yeah, it is, because they see them develop and move into our community or outside our community. We had an alumni day last year, and that we did for the first time, and we'll talk about that, hopefully get on here before that happens again. That was just an outpouring of people that came back and talked about their careers and what Riverdale meant to them. So yeah, just that family and that dedication to each other and willing to have each other's back that makes such a special place.
Yeah, you wonder, it's always curious when you look at alumni and where they all land, you know, and they land all over the country and the world, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and we found that out quickly when we put that out there and had a tremendous amount of people, you know, come forward and want to be part of that day, and our kids really got a lot out of it. And that's been something since I came back to Riverdale, just to really emphasize to people that just because you graduate from Riverdale doesn't mean, you know, you can't do great things. And we have tremendous people doing great things in our community and all over the state and then all over the country. And we want to really emphasize that to everybody, that there's a pathway for everybody, and that when they leave Riverdale, they're prepared to do pretty much whatever they want to do moving forward. And that's what our Alumni Day kind of feel was, and I think it's just going to pick up from here. We've had a number of people reach out like, yeah, I would love to be part of that, and so we're just getting more and more alumni that want to be part of that.
That's a small school where the school is the center of the community, and I think Riverdale kind of really exemplifies that.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. Yep, sure. Absolutely. Is.
Sarah, you've been around long enough. Your opinion, what makes Riverdale Riverdale?
I would agree with Jeff. It's truly a community. Sarah kind of had mentioned too the small town feel. I actually grew up and went to two of the biggest high schools in the state as a student myself. But coming to a small town community, they really just wrap around you. You know, even though I'm not originally from here, the community just wrapped around me. One of my favorite stories is when I gave birth to my second child, my son was with my parents, staying with them for the weekend, Sunday morning. They went to to church and they went to Walmart afterwards. And she said the girl at the checkout was just eyeing her. And when she got up, she to the checkout counter, the girl asked, is that Daniel? Yes. Is that Mrs. Pluckelman's son? Yes. Who are you? Because she recognized my son was somebody she didn't know, and she was concerned. So just that support is what I love about the district.
Yeah, that's awesome. People know you, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes when you don't know them.
So. Yeah, exactly.
You're looking forward to the new school year, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Looking forward to all of the hugs that you get at elementary school and just, you know, the excitement that all of the teachers and staff and students bring.
Yeah. And Sarah Gruen, certainly you see that small, even though you've been on the job a week, you see that small town come through, don't you?
Yeah. I've only been there a week. And I feel I've met some staff, I've met some students, and I feel already loved. I feel supported. I feel valued. So yeah, it makes coming to work really easy. So yeah, been a great first few days.
You got to get some maroon and white in your wardrobe, though.
I bought one football sweatshirt so far.
We'll look forward to seeing you there as well. But having served as well in the classroom and the athletic side of things too, I think that even better prepares you for the principal duties, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've organized and planned a few events, so I feel like I can handle that part of the job. I'm just really grateful that I'm given this opportunity by Riverdale. I'm looking forward to putting my stamp on the district and making it the best place for students, and I can't wait to meet the rest of the staff that I haven't met and the students that I haven't met yet. So I'm looking forward to it.
Are there some chances, open house or, you know, some things like that when the school year starts to meet you then?
Absolutely. I'll be there for open house. I'm not even sure 100% on the date.
Last Tuesday in August.
Yep. Mark that on the calendar.
Mark that calendar. Yes, I'll be there. I can't wait.
Sarah Gruen meet and greet. So. And Jeff, you want to make the public again aware of your meetings coming up?
Yeah. So our referendum informational meetings next Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the junior high school gymnasium. Then I will be in Blue River the next night, July 18th at 7 o'clock at the community center, and then Avoca on Monday, July 22nd at the Village Hall at 7 o'clock, and just invite community members to come out and hear the information that we have and to get that input from them and any questions they may have concerning the upcoming referendum on August 13th.
And if someone has questions in the meantime, they can always contact
me at a district office. Go on the Riverdale webpage. There's a webpage there with all kinds of information about the referendum. But yeah, I'm available at district office. They can call, they can email. All my information's right on the webpage for them. They have access if they want to contact me, and I'll answer their questions that they may have.
And you'll be back in August. We're looking forward to having you on a regular basis to talk about the good things going on.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We really appreciate the opportunity. We'll bring a number of different people and just to kind of really highlight Riverdale and the things that are going on at that time. But we'll have monthly meetings. It won't always be just me. It'll be a number of staff and students that we will bring in to make sure that we're highlighting all the great things that are going on at Riverdale.
And again, that referendum day, an important date, right?
Yeah, it will be August 13th as we're looking for the date for the referendum.
Okay. Well, good luck, and let us know if we can do anything else then.
You bet. Thank you, Phil. Right. Appreciate it.
Superintendent of Riverdale Schools, Jeff Campbell, joining us, along with Sarah Gruen, the new high school junior high principal, and Sarah Pluckelman, elementary principal, on this portion of the morning show.
This is Phil Nee from WRCO, reminding you Wisconsin's fall primary is August 13th, right around the corner. Make a plan to be a voter in every election. Your vote matters. To learn more about who and what is on your ballot this August, where your polling place is, and how you can request an absentee ballot, head to myvotewi.gov to get all the information and more. Big and rich, living in the big time. Some big time movies that were released on this day through history. Journey to the Center of the Earth came out in 2008 on July 11th. Other movie history notes: Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix released in 2007. Sharknado in 2013. I think I missed that one. It's also the history of Contact.
about a movie released in 1997. And Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, released in 2014. There's a new Apes movie out recently that has done pretty well. And a real classic based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel To Kill a Mockingbird was released in 1962 on July 11th.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Want to improve your sleep quality? Maybe a mattress with a built-in cooling cover is just what you need from American Bedding that is made right here in Wisconsin. Stop down to our newly remodeled showroom and see why we have quickly become Spring Green's largest mattress dealer. With over a dozen mattresses on display, our expert staff will assist you in finding the perfect mattress to give you a quality night's sleep. Located on Highway 14 next to the Ring Brothers.
Get ready, Wisconsin Dells. Monster Trucks Nitro Tour, Willie Fay, Dells Raceway Park with two big shows, July 20th. Monster Trucks and more, plus all new family affordable prices. VIP tickets, inclusive pit party pass, and the best seat. Get tickets at monstertrucktour.com or get them late at the gate. Subject to service charges and miscellaneous fees. Riding a rail, Monster Truck. Two big shows on July 20th. The Dells Raceway Park will never be the same again.
Hi, this is Bev from Cobison Buses. Being a bus driver and providing safe transportation for our students to and from school is a very rewarding job. I have a great group of drivers and you can be part of our team. We are currently hiring for part-time trip drivers here in Richland Center, and we also have an option for drivers to travel to our DeForest terminal daily. This can be a 40-hour per week job or part-time. A travel vehicle will be provided and you get paid from the time you leave the Richland Center terminal. Starting pay in September is $21 per hour with a sign-on bonus of up to $2,400. For questions, call me at 647-4446 or stop by the Richland Center Cobison Terminal off Highway 14 beside TC Auto Works.
Walsh's Ace knows that window screens can get punctured or torn. Let Walsh's Ace repair your torn or punctured screen. The experts at Walsh's have the know-how. If you're looking for paint, the Ace Paint Department at Walsh's Ace has state-of-the-art equipment that can color match anything you have to paint. You can count on Walsh's Ace for everything, from screens to paint. Walsh's Ace in Muscadet, Richland Center, and Ace of La Crosse.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. It's good to know someone you can trust when your home gives you a headache. Featuring 24-hour emergency service for plumbing, heating, and cooling. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating has been a trusted name when it comes to helping you solve any plumbing, heating, or cooling needs. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
Good morning from WRCO Radio. It is a pleasure to be along with you. Our amazing staff is starting to assemble, and Henry Bray is here too. It's 65 degrees. Good morning.
I remember back in 83, I was building a new house for the family and decided to burn that old house down. My wife had other plans, you see, to the milk house for a bath when she, and oh, that fire was burning pretty good. A neighbor up the road a ways was working his field and he saw the blaze, ran to his house to call that fire in. The only running water was, yes, you guessed it, in the milk house sink where my wife was bathing, much to her chagrin. The chief and all the firemen met in the milk house where my wife was dripping wet, and a little skimpy towel was laying there on the floor. The bubbles in the bath had lost their luster, and the firemen in a private bath appealed to her no more. She ain't no church lady. She's all a woman.
call. A decision must be made to cover north or south. Half block distance to get to the house. North was left to greatly be exposed. Now what started out as a simple bath became a community all out bash. No one will ever forget that day. My recollection is quite clear, along with all of the cheese and the beer. My wife walking up the road topless with that sway. She ain't no church lady. She's all a woman can be. She ain't no church lady. Now all the firemen agree. Now
story of the church lady there, Dan Koba, and the journeyman on WRCO-FM, Richland Center.